Welcome, dear listeners, to this week's special Thursday Live. This is the penultimate show of the day before we wind up with Bishu with his last segment. As always, this is Prem from Team Radio Sai, and with me is Sai Prakash. So before we begin, we offer our most humble pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet. As it's a special Thursday, we're going to take a break from our usual Shravanam, Mananam, Nirdhyasanam. We are very well aware that we were in the middle of the summary for the discourses which we were going through, the 1990 Samuko series. But this being a very special occasion for all of us, exactly 12 years ago, on the 29th of August, Swami walked into these premises, which we now call the studios of Radio Sai, and Swami inaugurated it. And that's where the journey of this studio began. So we are celebrating that moment. And to have this special program and to tell you more about this program, I welcome Brother Sai Prakash. Sairam Sai Prakash.
Sairam Prem. Yes, in fact, it takes me back to that day when Swami actually visited the studio in 2002.
Right. I think of the very few people who were still here, who were there when Swami came in, you're one of them.
Yeah.
We're all much later entrance.
It was an amazing day because, you know, the first thing that happened was as Swami climbed the steps and he got in, we had a digital MP3 player playing Nadaswaram. So it was a digital
to come.
It was a digital welcome to Bhagwan.
Right.
And I can never forget that because, I mean, here is Avatar, he's coming. And because we never anticipated that we should have some music, because suddenly somebody said we should have some music, something grand, because we were busy running around, and because this place was itself a lecture hall.
Right.
And it was modified into the studio. So a lot of things to do and we were running around. It just slipped our mind. You know? The last minute they said, why don't you just put a tape, a recorder? So we actually played Nadaswaram from a MP3 player. So that I think was the first digital welcome that Bhagwan had. But the beautiful thing was how Swami observes every small thing. As he was climbing up the steps, he paused and asked, why have you made the height of these steps so small?
Right.
He was so moved because this is a good occasion to remember Sri Ramesh Babu sir, who was part of the TVS Electronics. Unfortunately, he's no more with us today. But he went to every small detail to see what would be a comfortable height for Swami to climb.
That was the time when Swami was beginning to have difficulty even in walking.
So Swami was so moved and Swami said, oh, why did you make it this height? Then they said, Swami, to make it comfortable. So Swami was saying, very good, very happy. And very beautifully, see, Swami never misses the people who are actually involved in doing the work. You know, in a group of so many people that day, Swami just picked up one person, called him in, and then Swami created Vibhuti and gave him. His name, Sadashivam or something, I'm not able to get his name exactly. But he was the one who did this entire acoustic roofing for the studio. He was an acoustic audio engineer. And he was involved in converting this entire hall into a studio setup. And Swami called him and Swami gave him Vibhuti. It's so amazing how every detail is taken care. So with that,
even as you narrate this, I'm reminded of this one Sanskrit shloka, and I'm not able to quote it. It's comes in Shiva Puranam, you know, when Lord Shiva is about to wed Goddess Parvati. They are making arrangements for the wedding. So Lord Shiva is saying who is going to perform the kanyadhanam and who is going to officiate in the wedding. So when it comes to choosing the purohits who are going to do the wedding, he thinks of the saptarishis. He says, let them officiate as a priest for the wedding. So they're called forth, and that after they come, the dialogue between Lord Shiva and the Saptarishi starts with a very beautiful verse. You know, where the Saptarishi say that, Lord, that person who is able to think of you one moment, his life is sanctified. That they're able to think of you and do something for you. Then what then do we talk about us? The Lord himself thought about.
Wow.
He said, that's how fortunate we all are.
That's beautiful, because that exactly leads us to the topic we are talking of today. And dear listeners, I think this is a very, 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 very beautiful topic and very close to the heart of many students and devotees. I think aptly named Premadhara.
Right. For those of you who are not aware, these are basically the compilation of the letters which Swami wrote to his students and his teachers over the many years of the institution's existence. But you know, the beautiful thing is, even as we see, even recollect this title of this book, Premadhara, mm-hmm. we're reminded of what Venkatraman sir had to say when he was there in one of our Sharana Manana programs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here was Swami speaking something very, very complex. He was talking about the highest of truths.
Mm-hmm.
And Venkatraman sir made some statement which was very moving.
Mm.
He said, it just shows Swami's love.
Correct.
He says, it only shows how much pain Swami took to come and teach us all these very complex theories. It just shows his love. I mean, he had no necessity to do this for a bunch of college students
very
and
true.
Teach them this. You know, if you needed some kind of perspective to see that love.
Correct.
But these letters which Swami has written, I think it's so obvious that love is just overflowing, and that's why it's called Premadhara, the flow of love. Because the very fact that, you know, Swami in the middle of that tight schedule which Swami lived through all these years,
you know, you're just taken by surprise. How many things did Swami do?
Right,
and really? Where did he get the time to write letters? My goodness.
And as we said, you know, to sit, the very idea that Swami sat and thought of those boys and wrote these letters.
Yeah, he's, I don't know who possibly Swami's brother was the fortunate one to get the first letter which
Maybe,
Swami wrote
right.
in way back in 1947 or so. In which Swami declares that I have a task to foster all mankind. But ever since, I think Swami has been writing letters to many of his devotees. And we have the good fortune of having a collection of few of the letters. In fact, it came about in a very interesting way. Because one of the old devotees went up to Swami and said, Swami, these are some of your letters and mm-hmm. your manuscripts which you have written. Kasturi ji gave it to me. I've been keeping it safe ever since. What should I do with it? Then Swami said, you are still having them? He said, yes, Swami. Then give it to Venkatraman. He's mm-hmm. collecting all his old things. So sweetly, you know, but it's just not an old piece of paper. It's the most historic thing. It's Swami's own handwriting on piece of paper written with so much love. And when you go through some of the letters that he has written in, he has written broadly in, of course, Telugu. I think there are a few letters in Kannada, Tamil.
Right, right.
And there are few written in English, but in Tamil language.
Right.
Written in English.
English and in Telugu.
In Telugu.
I mean, that is the beauty of the thing. You know, there are few letters which are written, as you said, transliterated.
Yeah,
in
yeah.
English script, but actually in Telugu.
That's right.
It is because there were some of those devotees who were maybe living in the north or living in Chennai who were Telugu people, but did not were cut off from the language.
Yeah, they
so
didn't
for them, Swami
it.
Used to write in
exactly.
the English script, Telugu language.
I mean, the whole concept of an avatar writing a letter, I mean, isn't it most unique?
Really?
It's also, you know, a letter, to me, looks like a sort of a bond, a commitment. I mean, you are not going to write a letter if you are not serious enough about it. Yes, you can talk, you can speak, you can exchange, but when you pen it down, when you actually sit and pen it down, it seals the bond, so to say.
Very true. In the sense, that is what Swami used to say when he would accept letters from, you know, devotees and students.
Mm.
Once we were talking to Dr. Anil Kumar,
mm-hmm.
not Professor Anil Kumar, Dr. Anil Kumar, he was a lecturer in chemistry in our university for many years and a former student.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he, when he joined in the 11th standard, he couldn't write, he didn't feel like writing letters to Swami. He
okay.
said, you know, what would you write in a letter to Swami? Swami knows everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a predicament which many students and devotees face sometimes.
Right, right.
You know, what to write. I remember even in my first year, I couldn't get to write a letter so easily initially.
And the whole idea whether we should write
we
or
should
not.
We should write or not.
Yeah,
okay.
yeah.
So he had not written letters to Swami. One day Swami came up to him and Swami said, why aren't you writing letters to me?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, Swami, I don't know what to write to you. Swami said, write something. And he said, Swami, because Swami knows everything, I have no complaints, no prayers, nothing to ask, nothing to say, what do I write? And we all know Anil Kumar very well. He had lost his mother when he was quite young.
Okay.
So Swami told him something very beautiful. You know, Swami said, see, had your mother been here, wouldn't you have written letters to her about the hostel? You know, it's a new place you've come to, the new people you're living with, your teachers. Wouldn't you write letters to your mother saying that these are the, you know, fresh experiences and lovely things which are happening around me? Why don't you write like that to me?
So
you know, what you said, that a letter is something which forges a relationship between Swami and his devotees.
Very
Swami was saying that, why don't you write to me like how you would write to a mother? And this Premadhara is nothing but Swami saying that I am writing to you like a mother would write to you.
Very beautiful. In fact, if you go through many of the letters that Swami has written to his devotees, I would broadly put them into different categories.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one is, of course, the pure spiritual wisdom that Swami gives. I would say 95 to 99% of his letters are universal in nature, which contain pure spiritual message.
Right.
And there may be references, personal references to people and love and guidance to many of the people, but that is one category of letters. Then there is the other category of letters where he's more or less like a reporter. With so much of love and so much, and Swami is, in some of the letters he says, dear Charles Penn, so Swami is writing to him, he says, you know, we are going to inaugurate a new building in Mumbai. It's called Dharmakshetra. So it will be very nice if you and your family would come. So it's like just an invitation. An invitation, and he's saying, this is what I'm doing, this is what I'm up to. Just like a good friend. Then there is the other side where he is actually fostering and giving guidance to the organization.
Right.
And so some of the mid-60s and so, the letters that he has written to different people, even to some of the letters to Mr. Charles Penn, it's amazing how Swami is encouraging them. They are in the US. There is no mobile. There is no internet. There is no nothing. I mean, if they visit Prashanthi Nilayam and speak to Swami, that's the beacon of light. That's what they're going to carry back. And they have to keep the flame burning. They have to keep it alive. And his letter would come in as a shower of his blessings. But as I was going through one of those letters, something very beautiful, Swami said, you all are doing exactly as I have told you to do. You all should do what I have been telling you to do.
Okay.
Think of me all the time. I am always in you, around you. And I know that you know this. Isn't that so sweet? I know that you know this. So, there suddenly becomes this close bond of intimacy. And who else would write that way? But then there is the other kind of letters, which are very, very, administrative in nature, I would say. And even in that, there are some very sweet, I can't say requests, but very sweet commandments of Bhagwan. Because like in one of those old letters in Telugu, which I think Swami wrote to Jayama Madam's father.
Okay, Mr. Vittal Rao.
Mr. Vittal Rao. Swami is saying, this is way back in the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
He says, you know, we have started a general hospital, must be after 56 or 57. And the forest department has asked whether we can plant a lot of trees because there are no trees here. When you come, anyway, you're coming in the car. Do you mind getting a few saplings? So Swami is saying, can you get a few saplings? You would really like to plant these. And for those who have seen pictures of the 50s and even as late as 70s or 80s, Prashanthi Nilayam was so dry.
So barren, really.
Absolutely barren. And it's not without effort that we see so many trees today.
In fact,
many of the old devotees whom I interviewed, they say they would run away because Swami would catch them and make them water the plants. Go around, get the water and water the plants.
It's really beautiful. And many of the, as you said, if you see some of the letters in the 40s and 50s, that was a time when festivals were being celebrated. So Swami would often write letters saying that Dashara went like this, there was
Correct.
A lot of crowd.
Correct.
Swami would even number, this time we had 400, 500 people coming. We had about 150 people coming from Mysore. And some of those letters, why would Swami write? And as you were saying, Charles Penn, in a book he has compiled most of the letters. There is a letter which says Swami is written on 20th of August. There's another letter which Swami is written on 31st of August.
Okay.
It takes about 10 to 20 days for a letter to reach from India to US, which means Swami has already written the second letter even before he would have got the reply for the first one.
First letter, beautiful.
Which means he's just writing. That he took it upon himself to keep that flame burning. In those devotees who are living so far away.
In how many different ways? And yes, his discourses and his message is very unique. But when you receive a letter from Bhagwan, I think your joy will know no bounds. And for many of the students in the 70s and in the 80s, when Swami would regularly send letters to the hostel, I'm sure it would have been such a thrilling moment. And I'm just trying to recollect, I suppose that the warden would come up to the dining, come up to the podium in the dining hall, and he would say, dear brothers, we have got a letter from Bhagwan, and he would read it out.
Interestingly, though, Saprakash, when I was in my first year, the first semester, of course, in that time we had no idea, Swami had written two letters to us. In the hostel.
Okay.
And the warden was so happy, he said, you know, after a long time, Swami has written two letters in the same semester. But I have no idea what Swami wrote in that letter, because we were so happy that Swami just wrote a letter. You know, being a little children, then we have no idea. We were just so happy. And that letter was even posted on the notice board. Okay. A copy of that was taken and pasted on notice board. It was, of course, in Telugu. None of us, hardly any of us could read. But we were just, every day, we would go past it, we would look at it and say, Swami has written to us, Swami has written to us. And I think that is a very beautiful thing about this book which we are talking about, Premadhara, because, you know, many of the students would be in the same plight which I am in right now. You know, they would have just enjoyed the moment that when the letter came in, but they would have had no recollection of what Swami actually wrote in that letter. But now when we go through these letters, my God, these are really profound. Really, really profound ones. And as you said, the variety of flavors in these letters.
Correct.
The amount of, the number of topics which Swami has covered, the number of instructions which Swami has given for different activities and levels of understanding.
You know, here, this is just a random letter from 1976. It says 3/9/1976. The situation of our boys is like that of one who sits on the banks of the flowing river of life, but still suffers from intense thirst. He says, the attitude of our boys is like that of one who sits beside a heap of rice, but still suffers from the pangs of hunger. Not realizing that the effulgent sigh is within them, our boys are searching hither and thither. And he is there, he is with you, and then he restates that, and he, through his letters, he just awakens you to that understanding. So I think as we go along this program today, we will take random portions of letters from this beautiful compilation of letters, Premadhara, and possibly if we are able to recollect any incidents related to that, we could just point that out.
Definitely. I think there's one letter in front of me, which is the 1975 Sankranti blessings which Swami sends.
Okay.
You know, the encouragement which Swami gives, it's phenomenal. He says, my dear boys, accept my blessings and love. Even if every attempt of ours is a failure, and we weep and are torn asunder, yet through all this, we have to persevere our heart. We must assert our godhood in the midst of all these difficulties. Nature wants us to react, to return blow for blow, cheating for cheating, lie for lie, to hit back with all our might. Then it requires a super divine power not to hit back, to keep control and to be unattached. Dear boys, we require no one else to make us happy, for we are happiness itself. The first sign that you are becoming religious is that you are becoming cheerful.
Beautiful.
When a man is gloomy, that may be dyspepsia or indigestion.
Indigestion.
But it is not religion. My dear boys, today I am with you, in you. Be happy. What a beautiful message it is, you know. Swami is saying that cheerfulness is a sign of being
very
religious.
True. Very true. And Swami would often say castoral face. And we've never seen Swami really looking worried about anything or upset about anything. Always fresh and smiling, because I think that also comes with the whole idea of living in the present.
Right.
In fact, just in relation to what you just read out, I have a passage in front of me. It says, my boys, if you fail 1,000 times, make an attempt once more. Says, the ideal of man is to see God in everything. See Him in one thing, in that thing which you like the best, and then see Him in another. So on you can go. There is infinite life before the soul. What a statement. Take your time and you will achieve your end. Sai is always within you and around you. Be happy.
I think in that same letter, in the previous paragraph, Swami makes a wonderful statement. No? He says, why not be more concerned with what lasts forever?
Correct.
What is permanent and eternal? Why not care more for that than for the fleeting relations? Why not think more of the eternal permanent reality with which you cannot part? Mm-hmm. Why not try to secure that and realize that? And why try to sacrifice the permanent reality? Why sacrifice that for the fleeting impermanent relations? You know, just to think of it, those days, these are all letters written to boys during the Sri Sathya Sai Arts and Science College,
mm-hmm.
which later became campus of the Sathya Sai University.
Correct.
That time there was no PG.
Mm-hmm.
There was 11th and 12th, that was PUC then, and then you had these graduate courses.
Mm-hmm.
You had BA or BCom or BSc, which means the age group of all those boys, when you're in 11th, you're about 15 years old,
mm-hmm.
15, 16. So it's between 15 and 20.
Mm.
These are all boys in their, you know, in their teens. And to imagine that Swami is writing such profound letters to them.
I mean, that's what, there is, it's like this. You know, we talk of Gita, Sarva, Karma, Bhagavat, Prityartham and all that. But in reality, in practical life, that's what Swami expected. He didn't expect it. Rather, he would reward somebody who would lead their life and actions to please him. So what happens is, yes, I want to be close to Swami. But Swami is talking all this spiritual truths which I may take a lifetime to reach, but let me try. You know, that was the feeling, that is the feeling. I'm trying to do everything, Swami, for your sake. I want to please you. I want to get close to you. So that automatically, you know, Swami would many times say, talk less, talk less. And I'm sure there are many letters where Swami brings out this point. And he would, in fact, visibly and, you know, very beautifully and bountifully reward students who make attempts to talk less.
Right. In fact, that is one thing which was repeated, you know, the decades came and went, but Swami's command was always that.
Correct.
Asking boys and imploring them to talk less.
Hmm.
You know, here in this letter, I think it was written in 1976.
Okay.
Swami says in this, they have not been able to give full satisfaction to Sai.
Mm-hmm.
You know, talking about the boys, Swami saying, also there is too much talking. The excessive talking should be reduced.
Mm.
For the present, if they were to rectify these, they will secure Sai's love. They do not believe that Sai is in them, around them and witnessing and listening to everything.
Mm.
There is no greater or more creditable thing than to realize this fact.
It's amazing. See, the beauty is, Swami was the one, as you know, Narasimhamurthy sir would often say, a magnet, a powerful magnet holding the life breaths of so many youth. I mean, the number of youth that Swami held and guided them towards better understanding. He said that was a great challenge, and how Swami held them in one hand. But how he inspired them. He gave the spiritual message. He made them do it for him. And they are going to be the ultimate beneficiaries. But the underlying principle of this entire exercise was that he believed and he was firmly convinced of the fact that these are youngsters who are very pure at heart. I mean, in this beautiful letter, he says, it is the pure heart that reaches the goal. Follow the heart. A pure heart seeks beyond the intellect. It gets inspired. He is writing this to you because he knows that you have a pure heart. And and Swami would often say, in fact, that's what Swami told Mr. Raman Rao also in one of those days. He says, when I say Prema Swarupulara, when I say Divyatma Swarupulara, I just don't say it for the sake of saying, I mean it. I literally mean it. So similarly here, when he's writing a letter, it's like he's writing to the purest part of you. He's trying to awaken that purest part of you to get inspired. To get inspired, to start following, to start trying, to start doing.
Really, I mean, that is the emotion in many of these letters where
yeah.
Swami is literally pleading. You know, Swami is saying that it's so simple to make me happy. I just want these small things.
Mm.
You know, in this letter, Swami is making it so practical and, you know, he's putting it down in numbers. He's saying, my boys, think for yourself how much time you waste in talking unnecessarily.
Mm-hmm.
If you keep a strict watch over yourself, you will find that your actual working hours are only a few.
Okay.
Daily you spend 8 to 10 hours in sleep, while you need only 6 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Besides, whenever you are free from work, you can keep your mind engaged in remembrance of Sai and have his pure and glorious name on your lips. You can also chant the name as you walk along. Mm. If only you make up your mind, you can find ample time during the day to remember him. And then later he says, you have hypnotized yourself into this thought that you are little, that you are born and you are going to die, and live in constant state of fear. My dears, your Sai is always with you, in you, around you. Do not fear. Be happy. You know, again, reiterating that point that, you know, don't think that you're impure. Don't think that you are little and you're finite.
Correct. And, you know, it's a unique thing when Swami is giving an interview or when he is giving a discourse, divine discourse. Yes, he makes a lot of points, but in many of his letters where he identifies himself with Sai Krishna, or he says, your indweller of your heart. Directly he says, I am the indweller of your heart. I am there. And that bond of intimacy that comes about is so immense.
Very true. There's another letter, I think this is the largest letter in this book at least.
Okay.
Which is a message which Swami sent on the day of Holi.
Okay.
1979. Again, the same points, you know. Swami is making, very beautifully Swami is writing, the boys are good.
Mm.
By engaging themselves in unnecessary talk, they are spoiling their pure nature.
Mm.
Reduction of idle talk will abolish exaggerated mannerisms.
Wow.
Purity will increase in the absence of these two, and godhood will be attained. Yeah. Again, you know, that reiterating that same point of Swami addressing that purity in each
like
one of them.
Yeah, it's like awakening the purity in each one. In fact, love, as he has always told, is like the central theme of Premadhara. It's purely his love. And here he says, love must be completely selfless to be Godward, to be divine. This is in a letter in the Janmashtami message in 1974. He says, its creation must be the beloved first. Its technique must be your happiness, not mine. This way to happiness is the forgetting of oneself and the remembering of God, in bracket Sai Krishna.
Beautiful.
And he says, whatever we do reacts upon us. If we do good, we shall have happiness, and if evil, unhappiness. Within you is the real happiness. Within you is the mighty ocean of the nectar divine. Seek it within you. Feel it. Free it. It is here, the self. It is not the body, the mind, the intellect, or the brain. It is not the desire or the desiring. It is not the object of the desire. Above all these, you are. This is so powerful. All these are simply manifestations. You appear as the smiling flower, as the twinkling stars. What is there in this world which can make you desire anything? Then he says, it is the pure heart that reaches the goal. Follow the heart. A pure heart seeks beyond the intellect. It gets inspired.
When there is this technique in marketing, especially when you're selling a commodity which is not a need.
Okay.
You know, suppose there is a product which you want to sell. Natively, there is no need for that product.
Okay.
But what they do is, you know, they keep repeating that thing over and over again.
Yeah.
They keep showing it to you and make you feel that your life is not complete without that.
Without that, that's right.
In a sense, you know, Swami is doing the opposite of that, recoiling those people who have lost themselves into all these kind of unnatural things. Swami is saying that you are happiness yourself. You are what you are seeking. You are the ultimate. And Swami is reiterating that. Maybe these boys would have understood, would not have understood whether it was struck a chord or not. But Swami is repeating these things letter after letter after letter.
And this kind of bond which Swami allowed, in fact, on a lighter tone, many of us would call it postal sadhana.
Right.
Amongst all the different types of sadhana that we have.
Telegram sadhana,
postal sadhana. Which other avatar gave you this golden opportunity to do postal sadhana? You could write a letter to Bhagavan, you could express your, and Swami would read and respond and reply. So, you know, this classic debate of whether it is necessary to write a letter. Swami has himself answered it. He says, from the time you get the thought, I know, I'm aware of it. It's when you put it on paper that you actually committed to it.
Right.
And he would insist that you should write it Because then when you write it, there are two things. In fact, he would also give when he's advising students how to study for the examinations.
Right.
He said, what are you going to do in the exam hall? You're going to write answers. Similarly, when you write, you get clarity of thought. So here also, when you write a letter to Bhagwan, you get that clarity. And you are clear, you won't express it in a very clear way. There's no confusion.
And going back to this, the age group of, you know, children Swami is addressing, 15 to 20, everybody has, you know, obsession with good looks, beauty, and, you know, you want to appear presentable. That's the order of the age.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at this letter which Swami is writing in 1973.
Mm-hmm.
Swami is saying, beauty is not an independent value, but is the manner in which the mind of a subject is affected by an external form which acts as a counterpart of the taste present in the subject.
Oh my God, this is like a definition.
You know, so beautiful. I think you should just repeat that one sentence again. Beauty is not an independent value, but is the manner in which the mind of a subject is affected by an external form, which acts as a counterpart of the taste present in the subject. Objects appear beautiful as long as there is a demand for them from within. When there is no desire, there is no special beauty in anything. It is Maya that objectifies beauty. Beauty is not skin deep. Beauty lies in the virtuous deed.
My goodness. How amazing. How amazing.
So loving.
And so basically he says it's just a reflection.
Right.
If there is a desire inside, then you look for that outside. This is beautiful, that is beautiful, so and so is beautiful. So it's just a reflection from inside. And this statement is so beautiful. It says, if there is no more desire, then there is no special beauty in anything. looking at it the other way, everything is equally beautiful.
Right.
Everything is beautiful. In fact, that's where in one of his discussions, Nisargadatta Maharaj, he says, miracle.
Mm-hmm.
He says, and somebody asked him about miracle, do you believe in miracles? He says, I think even Albert Einstein has said that. He says, I don't believe in miracles, but in a way of looking at it, everything is a miracle.
Right.
Everything is miracle. It's not that I look at something as something special from anything else. Everything is a miracle. Existence, life itself is a miracle. So, in that
very
way...
In fact, you know, sometime back we had interviewed a very elderly devotee. She was in her 80s, an author of a lot of children's books and all that. I think Darlene Joyce was her name. You know, she had this to say. When we said, you know, what are the recollections of your, the time you spent with Swami? In the sense, we were hinting at, are there any experiences that you would like to recollect and share? And this was the very thing she said, you know, after a certain point, when you've lived with Swami and you've seen from Swami's point of view and perspective, you cannot differentiate between what is a miracle and what is not a miracle. What is an experience and what is not an experience. She said, you will just sit and see a butterfly and you'll feel Swami's love. You know, when we say an experience, when we say something which is out of the world, that is something which makes you look at Swami with awe, right? So she said, it'll come to a state where you see everything and you'll remember Swami with awe. You see everything and you'll remember Swami with fondness and love. So it is very difficult to say that, you know, I had an experience and this is what it is. I had a, you know, something which is so special and this is what it is. Everything becomes special.
That's right. Everything becomes equally special.
Right.
And, you know, certain letters which Swami wrote to his students, I think it's there in that book as well. Unraveling the mystery of creation. I mean, even if you go to and read all the Upanishads and you read all the Shastras, nobody has given a more convincing answer for the purpose of creation than Swami. In one of his letters, he simply says, there was no one to know who I was till I created this world. And with one word, mountains rose or something to that effect.
Right. I think there were a lot of... interestingly nice poems which Swami writes.
Yeah.
There are some which are prayers which Swami has written saying that you can use this as a prayer.
Correct.
And I think one of those is the verse which you are saying, that Swami reveals the reality about himself.
No, it's amazing because everything is told in the first person. It's a first person. See, that's the beauty, that's the hidden thing. Like, it's not somebody writing a letter to somebody, and it's all in the first person. He says, I am the one. I separated myself from myself to love myself. it's the greatest declaration. And frankly speaking, I think this is the only convincing answer for the entire creation. Because there is no other answer. I separated myself from myself to love myself. Why did he separate himself? To love himself. So,
you know, another thing which might happen, especially in this, going by the context, the scenario in which there are these boys, Swami is giving them so much attention, Swami is spending so much time. There is a sense of taking things a little easy, which sets in. And that is another thing which you can see in these letters, where Swami is reminding them, this is a great opportunity, don't let it slip, don't let it slip. Like this letter which Swami has written, I think in the year 1980. And interestingly, many of these letters are not addressed directly to the students. Swami would write to the warden, or Swami would write to one of the teachers, and there would be one or two paragraphs which are meant for the students. In fact, the letter which I said Swami had written to us was written to the warden, where in that one paragraph was for the students. Swami said to the boys, and he had written it down. Like for this one, I think he's written to one of the teachers. He says, tell the boys to study hard and write the exams well. The opportunity which they are getting is indeed a great boon, which even devas aspire for. Again, that revelation, opening the veil a bit, you know. Once this opportunity slips away, it is lost forever. And this atmosphere can never be regained. The avatar will soon be recognized by one and all, and the entire world will come to his feet and turn towards the spiritual path. Make the best use of your time now, so that you do not repent unnecessarily later. What is the use of all your studies if you cannot grasp the real vidya? Convey my love and blessings to all the boys and tell them to be disciplined. This opportunity would never come again, and ask them to make the best use of it. Even countless births would not get them back this opportunity.
I think something like that will would immediately put everything in place and perspective. Our Swami, you know, the moment you start taking things lightly, you know, this is also another beautiful letter where he's, when Swami says, I am in you, around you, above you, below you, he says, my dear boys, are you feeling my presence in the very cells of your body? God you think, God you are. Dust you think, dust you are. Verily, thoughts are things. As you think, so you become. What you sow, so you reap. Then he says, spiritual development does not germinate from the seed sown in the soil of earthly pleasures. Every action in the form of hatred or evil is so much lost to the mind, and every evil thought or deed of hatred or any thought of reaction, if controlled, will be laid in your favor. He says, it is not that we lose by restraining ourselves, but we are gaining infinitely more than we suspect.
Beautiful.
Each time we suppress hatred or a feeling of anger, it is so much good energy stored up in our favor. That piece of energy is converted into the highest powers. God is love. Baba.
Beautiful, you know. Encouraging students to have self-restraint, to have self-discipline.
Very true.
And also in such a logical manner.
Ah, that's the point. In a step-by-step manner. He says, yes, okay, you got angry, you got anger. Just control it. It's not a sign of weakness. It's not a sign of backing or cowardliness. You're storing up infinite energy. In fact, in this context, I was just speaking to one of our teachers. And he said, see, I've been coming to Parthi for the past 35 to 40 years. And I have never had food outside the ashram. I've always had food only inside the ashram. I asked, sir, what's the big deal? I mean, Swami, okay, when Swami must have told, have inside, there were no hotels outside. Now there are very good hotels, and we can have food outside. I mean, what's wrong in it, sir? Swami didn't say not to have food outside that. He said, see, you don't get the point. The point is, the amount of confidence it gives me that I am able to control this aspect of mine. I am able to control this urge to go outside and have food. I am happy with what it doesn't drive me. He says, I have control over it. So similarly, when you get angry, hear what Swami is saying, when you get angry, when you get hasty, when you get into any of those moods, he says, control it. You can control it. Be its master. You don't be its slave.
And incidentally, I've just got that verse which Swami writes, declaring about himself. I mean, the very power of this letter is, as you said, the first person in which Swami has written it.
Exactly.
It's so beautiful, you know. I think I should just read this whole thing completely. Yeah. Swami says, "Come one, come all. See in me yourself, for I see myself in all of you. You are my life, my breath, my soul. You are all my forms. When I love you, I love myself. When you love yourself, you love me. I separated myself from myself so that I may be myself. I separated myself from myself and become all of this so that I may be myself. I wanted to be myself, that is, Ananda Swarupa, Prema Swarupa. That is what I am, and I wanted to be that. How can I be Ananda Swarupa and Prema Swarupa? And get Ananda and give Ananda, and get Prema and give Prema. And to whom am I to give Ananda, and to whom am I to give Prema? So I did this. I separated myself from myself and became all this."
Amazing.
So profound and, you know, so beautiful, really.
So simple and so clear and so beautiful. It's like, he says, just in the perfect state of being, before creation was. No scientist can give this answer. I mean, this is the solution to the entire scientific problem of why creation. You know, they can only say when creation. They can't say why creation. And he puts it so simply. And it's like, whom am I to love? Whom am I to show my affection? So unless there is this manifestation that has come out of me, then I can love myself.
Beautiful. And Sai Prakash, we've not realized, we've just jogged past 45 minutes reading about Swami's letters. No, whenever you read these letters, I remember many times when I was a student, and I think all of us used to sit and think, you know, of all the many things which you get as a Sai student, and I think this holds good even for a devotee. If we were to sit and think, what is that most special thing which you get when you come to Swami, when you become a student of Swami? And the answer which used to come to me again and again was, it's that feeling of belonging.
Yes.
You know, most of what Swami achieved in the form of discipline, in the form of goodness with us was that very fact that he repeated that you belong to me.
Yes.
You have to reflect that.
And do it for me.
Do it for me.
Yes.
The idea that you belong to me and so be good.
Yes.
You know, that feeling of belonging was the most powerful thing Swami gave. And every one of these letters is actually dripping with that emotion.
Okay.
Because the way Swami starts every letter, my dear boys, my boys, my dears, you know, my children, and, you know, just cannot help but the way Swami is concluding this letter, which he wrote in 1988, Swami saying, "Sai, the resident of your heart."
Correct.
You know, that is what he wanted all of us to see, and there's another letter which he ends with love, "Your Sai, your own Sai, Shri Satya Sai." No, it's nothing but pure love, and whoever has chosen this as the topic for this book, Prema Dhara, is, I think, nothing could be more apt than this.
Right.
So that, dear listeners, is literally a drop of what Swami has written, because I think this was the first volume which was there when we were students. There are about two or three volumes now, and that is only to the students. And as you were saying, Sai Prakash, there's so many letters which we are getting to preserve now. Devotees are sharing with us.
Yes.
And the amount of love with which Swami has written to so many people, to Westerners, to devotees, very, very simple devotees. You know, one might think that these were all devotees. In our ignorance, we might think high net worth devotees. Not so. Very, very simple devotees. To whom Swami had no reason but love to communicate.
Very true.
And to share with them, you know, the happenings in the ashram, where Swami was. Swami would write letters when he was in Africa.
Yes.
And I remember, you know, we were talking to Ms. Rani Java a few weeks back. She said when Swami went to East Africa, Swami had left Mother Ishwarama in their house.
Okay.
The Java, the Joy Ice Cream Factory owner. Swami had left Mother Ishwarama in their house. And Swami had gone to East Africa, and Swami had asked Mr. Java to take care of his mother. And she said that very regularly, Swami would call up and inquire about Mother Ishwarama and say that, you know, I'm here, I'm doing this, they're taking me around like this. And she said, I learned that how a person should respect their mother from Swami.
Correct.
You know, the very idea that Swami was traveling, Swami was writing, even, you know, we have a picture of Swami sitting in an aeroplane and writing a letter.
Right.
You know, that was the love that he poured through all these letters. And I think both of us should be really grateful that today we could just take a small dip into that ocean.
Really true. Really. I wish I get a letter from Swami.
So that, dear listeners, unfortunately brings us to the end of this program. But we do hope that we'll have many more occasions to look into some of these letters. Do write to us what you think about this special program we did instead of our regular Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam.
An electronic letter.
Right. You can write us an email, e-letter. And we would be very glad to know what you thought about this program. As it has been the order of the day, we're going to leave you with another feedback which we got from one of our listeners, what Radio Sai means to them. At the other end of it, you'll be joined by Brother Bishu for the last segment of the day of this special Thursday Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. It's a very, very special segment. If you enjoyed our program, let me tell you, it's going to be much, much more fun listening to that program. So don't miss that opportunity. Do listen to it. So as we leave, we're going to leave you with this feedback which came from one of our listeners.
For over a decade, Radio Sai has had the privilege of spreading the message of universal love of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. Today, as we celebrate the 12th anniversary, let's listen to what the listeners have to say.
Offering pranams to Bhagwan Sai Ram, I am Shivakumar from Sai Group, Sultanate of Oman in the Middle East. For our family, Radio Sai has been a wonderful source to connect Swami 24/7 and receive His blessings 365 days a year. Radio Sai gave healing effect to each one of us when we were physically missing Bhagwan. Today, we are a regular listener of Radio Sai right from the morning. Right from the first day when the Sai in Space was launched, our day started with Sai in Space daily message. In fact, we had an opportunity to subscribe Sai in Space for many devotees and new devotees who wanted to receive the daily messages in our country. We are thankful to Bhagwan for His blessings and the team Radio Sai for this wonderful service. We feel Bhagwan's presence in our midst when we listen to many of the interviews and satsangs. Many times after listening to your program like Morning Glory, Love in Action, Afternoon Satsang, Love to Love, Bhajan Classroom, Radio Sai Study Circle and other programs, I have personally missed to give a feedback. I would like to utilize this opportunity to convey our happy feelings to Team Radio Sai and kudos to all the members who put their heart and soul in every program. For our family, Radio Sai means experiencing Prashanti at home. We would like to dedicate a bhajan which commences with Anandamaya Bhagavan. Thank you, Bhagavan, and the team Radio Sai. Sai Ram.
Anyatha Sharanam Nasti Twameva Sharanam Mama. Tasmat Karunya Bhavena Raksha Raksha Saishwara Sai प्रेममया भगवान्।